This is BirdieCast. A podcast about making light of life on tour. We're your hosts, professional golfers Maya Schechter and Leslie Klutz.
This is just Leslie. Maya is down in Australia, and I am here with a good friend, also plays on the Symetra Tour and on the World Long Drive Tour, Alexis.
G'day, mate. That one's for Maya.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Are you excited to be on BirdieCast, finally?
Dude, this is like a dream come true. I just feel like I've always wanted to be accepted by my peers, and I feel like this is the first introduction of being accepted by my peers. Ever since I was in elementary school.
Wow.
And preschool, you know, I just wanted
you just wanted peers to acknowledge included. Me. Included.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have that mutual respect.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would definitely say, you know, being on BirdieCast is achieving that goal.
Yeah, I feel like I've arrived. like there's not a lot else I can do after this.
So it's just downhill after this.
No one said downhill. Like, you can plateau.
Oh,
you know,
plateau,
and then you rise afterwards.
Okay.
So yeah, but this is the start of great success, I believe.
Okay, so let's start with how did you get into golf and all that?
Yeah, so I was born in 1993 in the small town of Ruston, Louisiana. It was a cold, rainy day. But I'll fast forward a little bit. So I played basketball my entire life. That was going to be my way into college, and then the health teacher, who's also the golf teacher, who's also the football teacher, coach, he said, hey, do you want to join golf? The golf team, we need an extra player. And I was like, no, that sounds really boring.
Okay.
And then he said, well, you get out of school all day and free food. I was like, what type of free food? And he's like, P.F. Chang. And I was like, okay, we'll do this. Because in basketball, we are always ate at gas stations, and that was just how we rolled.
Oh,
so this was a huge upgrade.
It's the next level.
Yeah, and the outfits you had to kind of choose for yourself. So
golf was it.
Ever since then, I fell in love with the game. Because if you're a competitor, it's the ultimate game to play, right? Because even on your best day, you can do even better. Like, there's something that you missed out there.
Right.
That could have made it an even lower round, so that's why I love the game.
So you were how old when you started playing?
I was around 16.
Okay, so a little later than, you know, the normal, I guess, curvature there. So then you played in college.
Yeah, so I went to, I did a semester at the University of Mobile, which was a lot of fun. I had a kind of lull period then, didn't really know what I was going to do afterwards, and then wound up walking on to an NAIA school called Texas Westland, which is good. You know, like at that age, I didn't have a lot of experience in golf, but in my head, I felt like I needed to be at a D1 school, and I thought less of myself because I wasn't at a D1 school. And so my perception of myself was very low, but I couldn't even compete at that level of, you know, I won tournaments and it was great, but I thought I was still at the high school level, but I was still getting experience, was which I needed to begin
with.
So
get more tournaments in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so after college, you graduated in what major?
I graduated in Mass Comm and then Public Relations, and then I took a year and was an assistant golf coach for the team that I graduated from. Yeah. Which was a great experience. There's lots of stories. Give me mad respect for my golf coach.
Okay.
Yeah. For every golf coach out there. Y'all,
so you did that for a year.
Heroes. Yeah, and then I kind of dabbled. I played in fear. So I played a lot of tournaments, including Q School, but mainly like a lot of the Cactus Tour, NWGAs.
Kind of like the mini tour events.
Yeah, so I did the mini thing, and I also tried to work at the same time, and so I wasn't fully committed and invested. I was trying to work for the next part of my life instead of actually focusing.
So what would that look like, the next part, I guess, or what were you thinking?
I was thinking I needed a backup plan. I was thinking I didn't trust in myself.
With the golfing.
Yeah, with golf. So And everyone says, you know, you need to be on the LPGA at 17. But, you know, truth of the matter is like, guys peak, and a lot of guys make the PGA at 35.
Right.
And so learning, you know, to enjoy the journey and to fully trust myself and be patient. I think patience, mm-hmm. you know, things happen at a specific time. There's everyone that's on Symetra has the ability to be on LPGA, and there's things that need to be tweaked, but it's all about patience.
Yeah. So.
And money.
Playing mini tour events.
You broke.
Yeah. If
you it ain't bro- happening.
That's true. If you don't have the money, it's
dang,
very, very hard. So how many times did you play Q School before you get on Symetra?
So I did three. So the first time I went, I was in college, and there was no way I was going to make it. I did it okay. to experience it. The second time, I didn't make it, and the third time, I went through.
Was this back-to-back, or were there some years where you didn't play?
Was it back-to-back? Might have been back-to-back.
Okay. So you got on Symetra. In the meantime, doing all this stuff, you also got into the long drive.
Yeah. That second time I did Q School, I was so pissed. I was like, how do I get my money back?
Because
money rules everything around us. I was like, I'm going to just sign up for this. I feel like I hit it far. Maybe if I come in top eight, I'll make my money back for Q School.
So how did you find out about it initially?
I've had people tell me to look into it before, but I was like, there's no way I can't compete.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't think you were long enough?
No. So I was like, man, I was like, if I can hit it 300 yards, maybe I'll make top eight and I'll get my Q School money back and it'll be good. And then for my first event, which was Worlds, I came in final four.
Wow.
So I tied third and I was like, this is awesome. I can
maybe this was the first time around.
First event ever was World Championship.
And you finished fourth.
And I finished third.
Third.
Yeah, I made the final four and finished tied third. And then the season started, and I wanted to pay for Symetra. And I didn't have great status, and so I wound up winning the first tour event.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are those like paychecks like?
So they've grown. They grow every year. First year I participated, I want to say 7,000 was to the winner. If you made top four, you got a paycheck. So if you made TV rounds, you got a paycheck.
Okay.
Which is top four. And then this past year, 12,000. And then you kind of work in with your sponsors, negotiating what it looks like if you make TV. So I think of like pro-ams, right? If you play a pro-am and you make $1,000, that's two Symetra events.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think of it that way. I'm like, if I make final four, I'm always, that's my goal, is to make final four, because I use my same driver that I use when I play golf. So I don't use
the
extra
one. Yeah, that astonishes me. When I found that out, I was like, you gotta be kidding me, use the same driver. Because I always thought, you know, like, oh, those long drive. Because I'm not short. Like, I can hit it okay far.
Right.
Like, I'm above average on Symetra in terms of driving distance. And I always looked at, you know, the long drive on TV, and I'm like, yeah, but they use different drivers.
Right,
you know, like, I don't know, those 2-3 inches or whatever.
It makes a big difference.
Length it is on the shaft. I'm like, yeah, if I get used to that swinging that, I always kind of wonder, like, how far I could hit it. But you use the same driver that you played to compete on Symetra, and I was like, what?
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I'll take a longer driver out there, but I've never had any success with a longer driver.
Really?
Never.
So you've tried it?
I've tried it. Well, but I haven't trained, like, extensively, because it changes your swing a little bit.
Right, and you didn't want to affect that, you know, to your regular game to play on Symetra.
Right.
Yeah.
With the ultimate goal. And so I wind up having a really good year that year. And then this past year had an even better year and was able to afford the Symetra tour. Yeah. So I finished the first event, my first tour event, won that, and then stuck with it just because it paid for Symetra, which is tough, right? So there's techniques that wind up creeping in when you're hitting long drives, and it kind of affects your golf game and vice versa. There's things that I do in golf that hinder me from hitting it really, really far in long drive.
Right.
But it's cool. The women's side of long drive's really neat, because the unique part about it is kind of like women's golf is it's relatable to the average person. And not necessarily, not a lot of men could hit it further than us, but most of us girls have golf swings. If you look at Troy Mullins and Phyllis Metty and a couple of new girls coming on the scene, Maude. She's gonna try it? Yeah, she's gonna try a long jump. She's got a
Canadian,
great swing.
Canadian?
Yeah. Okay. Had great success last year.
Yeah.
On Symetra.
Mode Blanc. I think that's how you pronounce
Blanc.
It. Yes. I might have butchered it, but
I think that's proper from my Louisiana French background. And then
wow.
Yeah, and another girl, Kanani, is coming up, and she kills it just like Phyllis and has a beautiful swing too. So
you're saying on the women's side with the long drive, they actually have like decent swings.
Yeah, they have great swings.
Compared to maybe the men's, it's like pure power.
Pure power, which is fun to watch. So
right.
So both sides have a really interesting take.
So how in terms of like purses, is it different between the men's and women's on the world long drive?
Yeah, it's like any sport. So it's pretty different. I can't think off the top of my head what it might be 20,000 an event for the winner. But enough to make a substantial difference, right? And that's the same in women's golf. You know, we're struggling to keep tournaments on Symetra. But the difference with women's long drive is we get the same TV time.
Is it also Final Four for the men's?
No, they do maybe 16 or I think Final 16 or Final
okay.
8 on TV, which is they have more participation. So
in terms of like percentage of the field.
Field is a
same.
Lot different. Yeah,
okay.
So they have a larger field. And that's the goal, right, for all women's sports is that we need more exposure. And
mm-hmm.
we also need more participation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes, it just kind of follows the tunnel
right.
straight to long drive as well.
That's very cool. Do you think the world long drive is more the future of golf? Or do you think more the traditional, I guess, like Symetra, LPGA, PGA Tour is still going to evolve? Or do you think world long drive might even like take over?
I think there's a mix between both. I think if anything, like, the more people come together to work for the same purpose, it's always better, right? And so when I look at waste management, that event to me is like a long drive tournament mixed with a golf tournament. And I think that's the future of golf eventually, is like you'll have your classic Augustas and your classic US Opens. And tradition, I love tradition, so that means so much to me and having that traditional golf setting. But then I think what brings in a crowd and what brings in people and viewership is having that waste management feel. So having, you know, music on the tee and allowing fans to walk with us like they do in Australia for the Vic Open, allowing people to engage. It's golf's such a unique sport because it's the only sport where people can be so close to top athletes. You know, you think about in basketball, there's only a few people that get to sit courtside. And if you think about football, you still have to be above the field in order to, that's the closest, So golf is such a cool sport and so unique. If we can really, you know, emphasize how neat it is to be so close to some of the best athletes in the world, because golfers are evolving into the best athletes in the world, not just golfers. Like, that brings such a huge element in. So if we grow in golf, women's golf and women's long drive, and say like you get to watch us hit on the range, and you get to watch us prepare and play in a proximity that you never get to see other great athletes do. You know, it's something that's so unique and really, really, really neat.
That's super interesting. I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was talking today, you know, a guy at Elon University actually kind of brought that up, and we were chatting about that, and it's...
So we're actually here in Raleigh in my humble apartment.
Hey, turn up!
And you were here to speak at Elon University.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that event.
Yeah, it was super cool. So I got to participate with one of my mentors, Teresa, and... She is also a mentor to one of the professors at Elon University that puts on this event called WINS, Women Influencers of Sports. And we did this thing called Promise of Possibility. So we got to speak to students, and it was a range of people, from a lady that used to be a Division I trainer and then now is in the business world of sports, to athletic directors, to CEOs, and then there was me, long driver, symmetric tour player, that was just soaking up all the knowledge and had not a lot to share because I'm still really young and learning it. So it was a lot of fun, though. I feel like 3 years out of college, there's not much wisdom that I can give, but...
But you had to speak, though, right?
Yeah, it was cool. So I honestly, I feel like I have more failures and kind of like going through the fire stories that I got to share with a lot of the students versus a lot of the other women who have already been through that and they've... are on the other side of it, and they're still pursuing greatness all at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? So it's encouraging to see them and to see them change jobs and go through different life stages, but all have the same purpose of growing and mentoring and growing others and just serving, being servant leaders over kind of self leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. I feel like personally that's kind of like in a way like a life goal to be able to like talk at a college. I think that's so cool.
Right? I was so nervous. I didn't say much, but it was really cool to be a part of.
You made the words count.
Right. Few words.
So what does your schedule look like this year?
It's a little bit mixed. I have a little bit better status on Symmetra, but not great, but not as good, not full status. So trying to earn that within the first couple of tournaments, and then also flexing between long drive, trying to figure out that balance this year. I think if long drive comes in the way of golf, I'll pick golf over that. And I want to give, I think in my career, I've always had something else attached with golf. So I really want to give golf a 100% focus.
Yeah. You
know? But it's really nice that long drive can pay for golf.
Yeah.
And then
the
platform that it gives. And if it had not been for long drive, I wouldn't be able to speak at the university and learn as much as I did. So. Hmm.
So what's on the long drive calendar? What's like coming up there?
Yeah, I think we've got 5 events this year. We're having Worlds in Chicago, which is going to be so much fun. It's going to be super windy. We have no idea what's going to happen with the grid. But it's growing. It's a growing sport right now for the women's side, which is super exciting for any women's sport to be growing.
So for listeners that are not familiar with the World Long Drive Tour, like how does it work? What's the format?
Yeah. So and the format's also changed this year. But for long drive, it is basically hitting the ball as far as you can, and with that, there's a little bit of regulation. So you have to hit it within the grid. The grid can vary. It can be 60 yards, and then Atlantic City, it can be 40 yards.
40 or 60 yards, meaning like the width.
The width, yeah.
The grid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, depending on where you are, whether it's Arizona or Atlantic City, the ball can fly a little bit further depending on elevation. So it's so much fun to watch. I got beat last year in the first event with a 414-yard drive.
Jeez.
By a girl that made it look super easy. I asked the Golf Channel guys, I was like, do I even need a hit? Like, do I even? I'm just going to dinker it out and make sure I hit the grid. That's about as best as I got. Hopefully it'll go 300 yards. But yeah, and the cool part about long drive is that there's music playing. You know, they're like, Sweet Home Alabama, you know, and maybe some other more pump-up songs.
Do you have a pump-up song?
Yeah, I wish I could have a walkout song.
You can't pick him.
I've sent in my walkout song. It's I'm from Louisiana.
Okay.
And I think it's just, you know, it can only relate to my Louisianians, so maybe that's why it doesn't get played. And there's music playing while you hit. It's just so much fun.
It's just a party, basically.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I like the interaction between fans. I like connecting with people.
Okay.
And so that's the coolest part, is that you get to connect with the fans immediately.
Right.
You hit and you get to chat with people. So it's cool.
So how many shots do you get?
So you get 6 shots, and this, so it used to be 8 shots. You get 6 shots now in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And there's, like, I look at the Symetra Tour, and there's plenty of women that compete. I can think of, like, Janie Jackson, Laura Wern, you know.
Yeah.
Women are bombing it these days.
We've got a couple long hitters on Symetra. Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. It's crazy, though. I feel like on Symetra, you know, yeah, you can hit it really far, but then, you know, I also play with girls that hit it fairly short, but then they hit their hybrid closer than my 9-iron, and I'm like...
Right. Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. That's like, that's a special skill.
Yeah.
I saw someone hit a hybrid from 109 yards and they like stuck it.
And you have your little wedge there.
And I was like,
I hit the green.
I can't stick it with a hybrid from that far. You gotta do a massive putt for that. Yeah, it's really cool.
So with the long drive, do you train for that or...
I haven't. So I tried at first, and I was like, it's hard to flip between both sports.
Right, because you started out playing Q School, so like you started out with, you know, trying to get on tour. So you're working on your game, but then got into the long drive because you hit it pretty far.
Yeah.
Got successful. Yeah, that's actually a tough choice between, you know, like, what do I train for?
Yeah, at the end of the day, both sports bring a lot of joy, but golf has this element where I get to interact with people more and serve a little bit more, and so that's what I enjoy about golf, and I think long drive is moving that way. My favorite event is the event that I won last year in long drive, which is in Tennessee for Nice Warriors Hospital, and you get to hang out with like some of the coolest kids that are struggling with some of things that we'll never experience in our life. And their families have to experience that. And it puts things in perspective, right? And you realize that you're playing for something greater than yourself and you're golfing with a purpose. And so, like, anything that gives me that opportunity in the golf world, whether it be golf, which is that gives me that more often, or long drive, which is moving that way, I'm, like, probably going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So currently you don't really train for the long drive thing, like just try to stay in shape and just...
Yeah. I mean, I train to gain speed in general. I think like everyone.
Right. That's just
like
part of...
People are bombing it. Like, it's insane. So I definitely don't want to be left behind in any way.
Yeah.
So I definitely train for speed.
Do you think anything specific for that?
Honestly, the best thing that's helped me, especially during this off season, are practicing with my wedges.
Practicing with your wedges?
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Yeah, it's finding that point of the proper release, like releasing the club properly, and also have the proper lag in my driver. And so if I'm hitting different shots around the greens and learning different shots around the greens, then I'm a little bit better when it comes to delivering the ball and the driver during competition, because if I need to hit a low shot, I can feel that a lot easier with a wedge. So now I can feel that in my driver. And if I'm doing that with like high shots or low shots or, you know, left or right shots, it's a lot easier to have that response.
So with practicing with a wedge, you're trying to learn more about, you know, controlling like the shaft lean and the club face.
Yeah.
To create different types of shots.
Right.
Like ball flights.
Right.
And that has helped you with your driver as well.
And timing.
Right, time. Right. Yeah.
You're not gonna like kill a wedge, and so I'm very quick. I walk fast. I play golf fast. I don't take practice swings. I'm just, let's go, guys. It's gonna be a good shot, or you're gonna have to hit a recovery. Let's go. Yeah. So practicing with my wedges also makes me slow down a little bit, trying to hit the same numbers on the TrackMan with the same swing speed, and then getting on the driver and just practicing how to release it and how to swing hard at it.
Cool. Yesterday we were talking a little bit, which I really thought was interesting, about your findings with your heart rate.
Yeah, so at Q School this past year, I realized something that had been occurring all year is that I'd hit a really good shot and it would just blow past a hole. Like, it was guaranteed at almost every event. And sitting with my coach, Brad Pullen, shout out, we kind of realized that my heart rate gets so high, a lot higher than it used to, because in long drive, that's the only reason I hit it far. So I'll look at TrackMan numbers and I'm like, there's no way I can compete next year in long drive or at this next event in long drive. And then I get to an event and I'm like, oh, I can compete.
So what would your number be at home, like swing speed? Ball speed.
It can be like 110, 111, anywhere around there.
Swing speed, miles per hour.
Yes, swing speed.
And then at an event.
At an event, I like hit like 121.
That's like a major difference.
It's like huge difference. Like, also, so one thing I did learn recently, I was with Mizuno and we were hitting clubs and they're like, so if you're working with something like a TrackMan, you can't necessarily look at the swing speed because what it picks up is like a certain type of metal or something. And not all drivers are made the same.
Okay.
And so you might pick up one driver and your swing speed might be high, but your ball speed might be a little bit lower.
Okay.
But you might pick up another one and it might be vice versa. Or your swing speed's high and your ball speed's higher. So I was hitting with like the new Mizuno drivers and my swing speed was higher, and so I was like, wow, I'm hitting it further.
But then the ball speed.
But then I looked at the ball speed and it was +5. No, the swing speed was the same. The ball speed was +5, and I was hitting it so much further.
So that was the club.
Yeah, that was the club.
That made the difference.
But it's really interesting in picking up another club, and the swing speed's higher, the ball speed's lower. And so all in the technology of like how it picks up is what I just learned. So if you're working with a TrackMan and you're trying to hit it further, don't really focus that much on the swing speed. Look at the ball speed. That's the number that's going to really launch it out there.
Right. But if you're working specifically on your swing speed, I mean, it is helpful to look at it with the same driver.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just to up it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's interesting how different types of drivers can affect those numbers.
Right.
Like with the same swing.
With the same
you
swing.
Would think your swing speed would be the same with every driver, but apparently it's not.
Right.
So that's what
If you're working with an old TrackMan and a newer TrackMan. Right. So like if I have vice versa, I'll have the same ball speed, different swing speed.
Huh. So do you work with TrackMan a lot?
Yeah, I work with it almost every day during practice.
Nice.
Do you work with TrackMan?
Yeah, I do when I have like access to it.
Yeah.
I do like using it. I like to use it a lot for you know, like mid-range irons and wedges.
Yeah.
Do
you do the combines?
Yeah, I like doing the combines.
Same.
I think my score last time, I can't remember, it was something around 80.
Nice.
It's got to be a little better.
You know, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I got to start somewhere. So, yeah, I do like playing the combines. But I like doing wedge tests too. Especially when it's raining out.
Yeah.
You don't want to be out there.
Period. I don't want to be out there because I don't want to get my hair wet.
Oh, it's all about the hair, right.
It's all... Because you kind of... If your hair gets wet, it's kind of frilly.
Yeah, I just wear a hat.
Yeah, so I don't want to... I want to protect the hair. Especially if you have, like, something to do the next day.
Oh, looking ahead.
Yeah.
Looking ahead.
Yeah. You should sign up for long drive.
I should sign up for long drive?
You should sign up for long drive.
Dude.
You and Maya should sign up for long drive.
Maya will beat me for sure.
Y'all will probably beat me.
No, that's like, no. Because remember, where was that? South Bend or something like
that? Yeah.
We had that long drive thing and I was so pumped about it.
That was so much fun.
I think I talked about it in the episode after that because I was so excited about it. And then I was so disappointed because I didn't even get close to, like, being in the final. I even, like, worked out. Like, I was excited.
Come on!
Like, I even changed the setting of my driver to, like, thinking it could
maybe
be harder.
Maybe that's what happened.
Maybe that's what happened. Who knows? Yeah, no.
That was
a lot of
fun.
I do sometimes think about, like, you know, like, after playing on Symmetra or, like, playing on tour, you know, if I would have like a 9-to-5 or something like that, and like after work or before work training for long drive a couple hours in the week.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
That would be so fun.
And the
fun.
Thing is like, there's so much more information about how to gain speed now.
Yes.
That yes. it's so possible.
Yeah, I think the last like 5 years or so, like there's been so much more like research about it. And,
yeah.
Like, tools to do that. I do agree with that.
I feel like if you would like play like flag football or rec basketball, if you'd like play some other sports, you'd probably gain a little bit more speed using those different muscles.
You know, just get jacked up.
Yeah. I mean, you could be like the Ronda Rousey of golf.
I'm gonna leave that to you.
Oh, okay. I'm too scared.
Scared.
I'm scared. I can't fight. I run. That's okay.
What's the culture like on, like, is it much different on, you know, playing on Symetra Tour versus, like, the long drive tour? Like, is there a certain culture there? Do you guys hang out, like, as players?
So, we compete all in one day versus the men compete 3 days. So, it's really hard to create that culture.
That.
So, over time, the more that you play in events, the more you get to kind of bond with all the other players. And that looks different. For each player, but because of that, it's different. I think that's why the cool thing about golf is, like, I get to hang out with somebody from Belgium tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
I would never meet a Belgian person.
Do you know anyone else from Belgium?
Julie?
She's French.
That's the only person I know that's close to Belgium. I would probably never meet or experience half the cultures that I get to experience in both sports. I mean, the top players in long drive majority or are foreign. You got Sweden, New Zealand.
You sure it's New Zealand?
I'm pondering on these. South Africa.
So do they need to live in the States?
No.
They travel back and forth for events.
Yeah. Some travel back and forth, some stay for a while. So if you'd like to sign up for a long drive event.
I don't think I have a chance, honestly. I don't know, but who knows? Maybe I'll be at an event and my adrenaline just spikes through the roof.
Or you should come to, like, I feel like Atlantic City is perfect for an LPGA or some Metro player because it's, like, only 40 yards in width.
So it's a small,
it's super small.
Grid.
And then there's, like, a bunker. So let's say now it's, like, 30, 20 yards. And the wind's always, like, howling. So it's always straight into, I think, 239 won.
Oh, that's not bad.
Because no one can keep it in the grid.
239?
Because the wind is like, so I feel like as a golfer, you kind of can judge a little bit faster where to aim it.
Oh,
so that might be the secret sauce. Yeah.
I would love to, honestly. I'm just so scared that it's going to mess up my swing for the next event.
You can't be scared. You got to go out there with what you got. And you can't switch it up.
I'll see how the season goes, and who knows? Maybe I'll sign up. Who knows?
All right. So is Maya gonna listen to this?
Yeah, Maya will be listening.
All right. So I've got questions for her.
Okay.
So, she's no longer with us.
Well, she'll do some parts on.
Because she's on the LPGA.
Yeah, that's right.
So first off, congrats. I got to hang out with her in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to get to know her a lot better. There's some really awesome people that come out of UNC.
Yeah, I'm
y'all,
telling
y'all are
you.
Really neat.
Go Heels.
Yeah, sure. go Rams. That's
Rams?
Yeah.
That's our mascot, Ramses. So yeah, sure.
Texas Westland Rams.
Sure.
So yeah, so congratulations. Also, what is it like out there? Is the food better? Or are you still eating PB&J? Has your diet changed now that you get better food?
I said a lot about the food.
How is the rental car situation? Who are your best friends on tour? Can we still be friends? Can we still be friends?
Now that you're famous.
Now that you're big time. Please don't forget the little people.
The little people.
All we ever wanted was greatness out of everyone. And you've accomplished that.
Are you crying?
And so, as I finish this list, I just want to say, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
You should be an actress.
You know, I when I was little, that's what I wanted to be.
An actress?
Yeah, but there was like
no. Who was your favorite actress or actor or movie?
Anybody on Disney Channel?
Disney Channel?
Yeah.
So do you have Disney Plus now?
No. I realize my...
kind of left that in the childhood period.
You know, they might not be Oscar winners. I think I realized that.
I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
But I heard Lizzie McGuire got canceled. Oh, what are you watching on
this
Netflix?
Question to Maya.
Yeah, Maya, what are you watching on Netflix right now?
Right.
That's it.
So I send these questions to Maya, and this is what she sent us back.
Hey, thanks Alexis so much for coming on, and I appreciate the questions. I guess your first question was, what is it like on the LPGA? And it's different for sure. I would say people are much more on their own, and I think you have your caddy, and that's kind of the main person that you hang out with a lot of the time at the golf course. So far, I've played practice rounds with some really good friends, and yeah, I'm meeting new people, so it's, I would say, people are really nice and want to get to know you, but there's definitely a little bit more of a business feel to it. And people, I think, are a little more serious at the golf course, a little less chatting on the greens and on the range. Yeah, but so far so good. I think it's, I can see for myself this year that I could improve a lot just by really the time that I spend at the golf course is going to be well spent. And you know, you kind of crank out what you got to crank out, especially because the tournaments are 4 days, so you have kind of one less day to prepare. So I think that's one thing on the Symetra Tour is you just have a lot of time, so it's easier to, you know, stop and chat, and if you want to play 9 holes, that's fine because you have an extra day to prepare. So I think that's part of it too, is you kind of have to get your work done more quickly and more efficiently because you kind of have one less day with the 4 day tournaments as opposed to the 3 day tournaments. So, but it's been really fun to travel and get to see the world, and been going on some adventures outside of golf still, which is definitely a part of professional golf that I love. So, and then the food on the LPGA is, yep, it's better. I am actually admittedly still eating PB&Js, but that's because I like to eat them on the golf course. So, but the food has been phenomenal. They start player dining usually on Mondays or Tuesdays, and it's lunch and, or breakfast and lunch. So you kind of have 2 meals for the whole week taken care of. So I feel like it cuts down on costs in that sense. And also you just kind of go to the golf course, have breakfast, start practicing, and then you don't have to leave the golf course to have lunch. You just have it right there and then you keep going. So yeah, it's definitely a lot better, and it's provided earlier in the week than on Symetra, which is nice. For rental cars, I am so far just been splitting rental cars. So I've been traveling with people and then we just split the rental cars. So far so good. I think the next stretch I'll be playing Phoenix, Kia, ANA, and they're all kind of a short drive from each other, so I think I'll rent a car and just keep it for the 3 weeks. But so far so good, that hasn't been an issue, although driving in Australia is terrifying because they drive on the left hand side, so that hasn't been super fun. What clubs am I playing now? So I managed to get some clubs through TaylorMade. They're usually not so helpful on the women's side, but I met the rep at the Boca Raton tournament and he was really nice, and I play TaylorMade irons, so I am getting a new set of TaylorMade irons. And then the Callaway rep, tour rep, Barry, is amazing, and he's out every week on tour, so he fitted me for the new Maverick. So I'm playing the new Maverick for the driver and the 3-wood. So it's been really, I think, really helpful just to be able to get to know some of the reps, and they're out there, and, you know, they're just willing to help and want to obviously get their merchant, their, you know, clubs into your golf bag. So actually the hardest part was trying to find a staff bag, because Callaway, you have to play the driver and the putter to get a staff bag. TaylorMade, I didn't actually try to get a TaylorMade staff bag, but I think they're not super giving on the women's side. So, and then, you know, just tried to reach out to different companies and like, hey, would you want to sponsor a staff bag? Just needed, because I think Vessel, you can design a staff bag, but they're expensive. I think they're a couple hundred dollars. So I was really trying to find a way to get a free staff bag. I have a Peretti putter, and so I contacted them, didn't get any response. So I was just trying to find a staff bag. So that was kind of the hardest part, actually, was finding a bag, because you can only have a stand, you know, like carry bag for two tournaments of the year, or else you get fined. So yeah, so you're required to have a staff bag, and that was kind of the hardest part. But now I'm working with Stitch Golf out of Cary, North Carolina. They're amazing, super, just want to help and want me to go play well, and you know, they have a cool bag, and yeah, they're just super nice people and have been super helpful. So that's been great. Can we still be friends? Yes, we can still be friends, of course. I know I'll see Leslie and Chi-Chi a lot for Monday qualifiers. I think both of them are coming out trying to qualify for the Olympics. And yeah, I know, I'm going to miss you guys, but you guys will just come out here next year, so no worries. But I'm looking forward to making some new friends this year, and I'm sure I'll see everybody at some point, so... What are you watching on Netflix? I am not watching anything right now, so I'm actually looking for a new show, so I'll have to do some scoping out. Thanks so much for coming on, Alexis. Bye.
Thanks, Maya, for sending us your response. Now back to the episode with Alexis. Tell us one good story from Long Drive, and then one good story from Symmetra.
All right, so I'll start with Symmetra, because it ties into Long Drive.
Perfect.
Okay, so this is from in Milwaukee. I played in the Milwaukee event, and it was awesome, right? So I'm staying at an Airbnb with, do you know Jesse Gary?
Yep.
With Jesse Gary and Anna Lesher, and one night after the first round, we decided Jesse had some friends. We went out and we went sailing, and so we had like this awesome night, had a great dinner. It's just really, had some good coffee, like it was just magical, right?
And what day of the week was this?
This was after the first round, so like Thursday night.
Okay.
So we get back to the Airbnb afterwards and walk in, and we're kind of just talking, and we're like reminiscing over the last couple of hours. That was beautiful. The sunlight was just beaming until the stars came out and sprinkled and glistened on our cheeks. And so it was just amazing, right? And so then I'm like, hey guys, I'm gonna go ahead and get ready for bed. And as I'm getting ready, I notice like some things in the house are a little moved around and don't look. I'm like, well, maybe the girls ate a Reese's. I don't know. We don't really eat sweets. I mean, the three of us, so it was kind of awkward. So I walked in my room, and there's a random man sleeping in my bed.
What? They double booked the Airbnb or something?
No. So he is at a bachelor party and gets super wasted at like 8 and uses a code. I think he's staying in like an Airbnb across the street or above us or
same
something
code.
Like that. Yeah. And the only same code to get in the back. So it was different in the front. So he gets in the back. And I'm like shooketh. So I stand there and I go, hey guys, this is exactly how I said it. I said, hey, there's a random man in my bed. And I just walked backwards. And Jesse's like, ha ha ha, that's not funny. Anna's like, I'm gonna use the bathroom. Like, get out of here. So I just walked out of that place and I stood at the door and I'm like, I'm going to leave, but I also kind of care about y'all, so I would like y'all to follow me. And then Jessie saw me standing at the door, and she was like, oh, she's serious. So she runs out. I'm like, grab the phone. Like, let's call the cops. So we settle that. The cops come. We talk about it with the Airbnb guy. I asked for my money back. The Airbnb guy's like, no, I can't give you your money back. I was like, well, let me just send the police report to headquarters. You know, he's like, oh, just kidding. I'll give you your money back, you know. So... that night, they were staying in a bunk bed, but we were also scared. We all slept in the same bed. So it was like,
oh,
Jesse
God.
At top, and then like me and Anna were just like squeezed in, and it was awful, and we all had to play the next day, but we didn't have anywhere to stay because we were too scared to stay there. So we like packed up the bags, and it was funny because after the round, we all get together, we're like, all we could think about is like, that incident. And then after we think about that, we're like, well, where are we going to sleep for the next night? So it wound up, we got to stay with that family, and it was a lot of fun. And so I had to get up the next day and go to the long drive event that started at 9 a.m., I want to say, that day. And so I hop on a plane, and I go to my connecting flights in Charlotte. And this is where long drive ties in. And so I'm in Charlotte at 11, no, it's like 10. And I'm supposed to get in Bristol, Tennessee at 11. So that gives me a good amount, maybe 6 hours to sleep, right? So we get on the plane, and I'm like, oh man, this flight's delayed. I'm not going to get there till 12. So now, like, my sleep is kind of going down. And then they're like, oh, bag caught on fire. I'm like, oh, this probably would be my bag. It's not. So I'm excited. And then a car tips over. And they're like, hey, the car tipped over. We're going to have to deplane everybody. And then I think a man got a heart attack that was, like, working out there. And they're like, we're going to have to cancel the flight. So I'm like, I'm...
In Charlotte.
In Charlotte. There's no way for me to get there.
Because you could drive? I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to think about... I don't think I had... Maybe I didn't, like, have a credit card on me for this trip, so I couldn't, like, rent a car. Or, no. So, a flight was going to leave out at... That's what I was going to do. So, a flight was going to leave out at 7 a.m., get there at 8. So, maybe, like, a 45-minute drive. I'd make it right on time.
At 11.
At 9 for long drive.
Okay,
To compete to try and get on TV rounds.
Okay.
So, I was like, oh, this works out. I just got to find somewhere to sleep tonight. And so... this guy walks up to me and he goes, hey, you don't know me, but I know you. And we're going to the same place. I got to rent a car. I do graphics for Golf Channel or for NBC. Would you like to ride with me?
Oh, wow.
So at this point, it's like 1 in the morning. And I just looked at his bag, his carry-on, and it said media. And I was like, yeah, that's good enough.
That's legit.
I'll ride with you. At this point, this week's been so crazy. I'll ride with you, right?
With a random man going for
first, I have to wait on my bag because I left it on the plane. So I get my carry-on. It might be like, it's like 1:30 or whatever. We hop in a car. And Mr. Bird's like, you're going to have to, stay up with me. You know, I was thinking I was going to be able to sleep a little bit. But we chatted and... amazing guy. His wife works for the Olympics. He works for NBC doing graphics and have a really cool kid, really great family. And it was really great to connect with him, like we get to do with so many people. So we get there, I think maybe like 4:30 a.m. And I'm like, I still got to pick up my bags at the airport. And I need to leave to get there at like 6 or 6:30 or something. So he gives me the keys to go get him in the morning. And I look at my phone, it's like flight's delayed, won't get in till 7, or won't get into 8. I think I'm supposed to get in 7, won't get in, something like that. Anyways, so I'm like, great, I'm not gonna have it. And then it goes, flight's canceled.
Again.
So I would not have made it had it not been for Mike Bird.
Right.
So I'm there, and I had maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours to sleep, and I borrow clubs. And that's the cool thing about the culture, especially of women's culture sports. Is that a couple of people let me borrow their drivers, and then the tour guy that is on staff built a driver for me. And so I just hit those. And the first two, top two out of 8, go straight to finals at this event. And so I wind up making it. I had no idea about that part because I was so exhausted. I just didn't remember anything. Literally, I would hit a set and I was shaking. My body was exhausted. I was physically shaking after. I would have to lay out, I would hit and just lay down and my body would shake. And I was like, there's no way. But all I could think about is now that I made the finals, I've got at least maybe 2 or 3 hours to rest so I can go take a nap, right? But this was at Nice Warringers in the Tri-Cities. And so the year before, I always ask opportunities to serve, and so I asked to go to the Children's Hospital. So like, hey Lex, we know you went last year, we know you probably want to go again this year. And I totally forgot about it. It's just because I'm so exhausted. And so I was like, oh yeah, there's no way I would miss that. So I didn't even get to sleep. So I'm functioning on hitting the ball as fast as you can, using all of your strength, which I have little at this point. I can barely eat. And I go and I hang out and, like, perspective changes, right? So I'm there, like, Kylie, I'm at Final Four. I'm grateful for that. Like, I don't even care what happens tonight. Hang out with some really awesome kids. And this one kid, I kind of asked him what he likes to do, if he played any sports. He said he loves to draw. I was like, well, he draws something on my hand. And so he draws a trophy on my hand.
No way.
Yeah, it was super cool. And his name was Christian. So Christian drew a trophy and then hung out with some other kids. And then we went on our way and had to go straight there. So wound up hitting that night, won the event, and looked at my hand. And Christian's trophy was shaped exactly like the trophy that I won.
No way.
Yeah, dead serious.
And so, you didn't know that.
I had no idea. And it was literally this moment of like, one, you can't do anything by yourself. Two, you have to trust in the discipline that you've created, right? In the talent that you have. Because half the time, it's hard to trust because you're so in your mind. And I just believe that what I had was good enough. And then thirdly, like, the little things in life that matter the most, right? So, like, my mind's been out of shape because I had this random man sleeping in my bed, don't have anywhere to stay. I still dream some days about him being right there.
That's and then that part is just insane.
Bizarre, right? These are things I
can't imagine coming home from around and
shooketh.
Not even like another player, like a random man.
A random man.
Is sleeping in your bed and all your stuff is there.
My stuff was on the bed. That's the even crazier part. It's like, how did you not know? You know? Then we have to find somewhere to sleep. Then I have plane problems. I'm upset. And then going to the hospital knocks you back into reality. And then, you know, you realize that you have a community at the end of the day of women that support, and it wasn't my win, you know, it was the win of like so many people. And that's probably the greatest story I'll ever have, is, you know, a hard time where you can believe in humanity again, you know, and people. And some guy named Mike Bird that says, I know you and you don't know me, but hop in the car.
Yeah.
Hop in the van. No, just kidding. But yeah, that's probably...
Wow, really cool. So, like, did you end up getting your bags before the final?
I got my clothes.
Clothes, but yeah, not your...
Not my golf clubs. Yeah.
So you competed the whole thing with borrowed clubs.
Yeah. I won hitting my opponent's club.
The same club?
Yeah. And, I only got my clothes back. But before then, I was wearing these clothes. I worked out before I got on the plane.
Oh, great.
I was funky. Like, I smelled so bad. And I, you know, like, when you just, like, are like, I just want to, like, all I can think about is showering.
Showering, yeah.
And I, like, couldn't shower. I mean, I did shower, but then I had to put on the same nasty clothes. It was just a struggle. I was like, well, somebody take me to the store because I need a car. Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, thanks for coming up on BirdieCast.
Thanks, Leslie, for having me in your home, in your space.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
You're the best. Tweet, 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 tweet. This is BirdieCast. This is BirdieCast, making light of things on the tour. Making light of life on the tour. Tweet, tweet, tweet. The BirdieCast.
Thanks for listening to BirdieCast.